Wednesday night service, prayer meeting, Lord knows we need a prayer. Lord knows we need the meeting. Just remember the announcements. We're going to go over them one more time. I've been a little slack about that thing, so I don't want somebody to show up. Brother James ain't told me. You know how y'all are. Throw somebody under the bus. Tomorrow night, 5 to 7, youth night, parents bring juice. That's not like really juice. That's like that sugar juice stuff, right? Y'all know not to bring real juice. November 1st, 6 p.m., Fall Festival here. Ladies, soup, fixings. Says 12-pack here. That's 12-pack of Pepsi, Mountain Dew. Water. You got to specify these beverages around here. And a dessert. This Sunday night is birthday fellowship. Ladies, follow the list that Miss Allison sent out. And November the 2nd from 2 to 4, Katie's baby shower. I heard somebody say the other day, well, it's kind of early, ain't it? You got holidays, and so it's really not early. November the 2nd from 2 to 4, right here, Katie's baby shower. So remember these things. Remember the pastor and that crew that's up there to him. Remember Miss Angela, her back's hurting. Sister Shelby's got some family that's sick and in trouble. And I think Brother Brooks is bereaved. He's had a death in his family. So remember these prayer requests. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter number 5. I want to preach a few minutes on something tonight that all going to go through, all have been through. Lord tarries, we're probably going to go through it again. It's tribulations and troubles and trials in our life. And, that's just life, right? That's just part of living. You and I, because we're saved, we're not immune to the troubles of this old world or the troubles of our life. But according to what the Bible says, we should handle it differently. Amen. You know, a Christian shines brightest during the times of troubles. Because somebody in the world has nowhere to turn, they sorrow like the world. A Christian should shine brightest during those times because we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. Amen. We know this isn't the end. For a born-again child of God, this is not the end. So when trials come and tribulations come, and they are going to come, we're going to see it's for a purpose. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith. Praise God. If you're born again, you are justified in the eyes of God by faith. Nothing you've done. Keep up your good works, maintain your good works, but you're not justified by those good works. You're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have it any other way. Verse number 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I was with you, brother, but I just threw the hook, man. We was doing pretty good. We was glorying in God and faith and standing. And man, you just blew it with the glory and in tribulations. Shouldn't be that way. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Help the Lord, I'm going to preach a few minutes on God's wagon train. Brother Johnson, would you pray for us, Brother Nolan?
Bless Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You get to us, Lord.
Request, Lord. Angela,
help us, Lord. Somebody's sick and afflicted, Lord.
Not here, Lord.
Touch us here tonight.
The pastor and those that's out in Colorado, pray God that you just
thank you,
keep
Lord,
your hand upon
us. Touch us, Lord.
With our missionaries,
help
Lord.
Us here tonight.
Lord, just ask God that you just bless Brother James as he preaches tonight, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray God that you'd give him the words to say.
Touch us,
God, that
help us,
we'd be attentive to your words, Lord. And God, we just absorb it like a sponge and take it out into this world and use it for your glory, for your honor. It's in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. 2 Peter 3:18, that was our verse for Vacation Bible School one year. Y'all remember that? It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That amen means it's not amiss of God. Amen. Grow. It takes time to grow something. I didn't get to be 250 pounds quickly. It took some time. But I have arrived, amen. It takes time to grow something. Takes time to grow up, doesn't it? Remember when you was a child and you couldn't wait to be grown up? Then you get there and you're like, man, what was I thinking? This is not what I thought it was. Amen. Hey, it takes time to grow old. It does. You don't get to be 70 overnight or 75 or 80. It takes time and it takes living to grow old. It takes time to grow a garden. You can plant your seed and put your plants in the ground and go back out the next day and you are not reaping any fruit. It takes time. It takes time to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, you took 5 years from now, you should be closer to God than you are now. You should be closer to God now than you were 5 years ago. It takes time. Many times we as Christians, though, we want to choose the easy way. We don't want to take that time, do we? What's the saying? I ain't got no time for that. I ain't got no time for patience. I got to have it now. We want the easy way, the shortcut. You know, those of you that use a computer, you can create a shortcut on your computer. You can right-click that file, and it'll pop up and ask you, do you want to create a shortcut? And if you say yes, it creates a shortcut, then it's just a matter of one click and there you are. You don't have to go through your files and dig and look and documents and download. Just one click. That's the shortcut. We want the shortcut, don't we? On a game. These games these kids play nowadays. You can take shortcuts and skip entire levels. You can go from level 2 to level 5, whatever that means. What a shortcut. You skip all them ones. It's a shortcut. We want the shortcut on your telephone. Shortcut. You go to your directory, you find that name, and you click that name, and it dials all them numbers for you. Isn't that something? Some of y'all remember the... Some of y'all remember that. Then it went to beep, beep, beep. But we had them then, didn't we? Beep, 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 beep. Now it's just beep. Had a missionary friend of mine call me a while back. He's an older guy. He wants some information on a guy. I said, sure, man, I sent it to you. So, sent him the info, and he called me back. He said, brother, I thought you was going to send me that information. I said, I did. He said, well, I didn't get it. I just got this thing that popped up with his name, and it said VCF. I said, that's all it is. I said, brother, if you touch that thing, I said, everything about that guy will pop up. Email, telephone. He said, man, it sure will, won't it? He said, I didn't know that. It's a shortcut. Shortcut. Microwave. Do you know you can't just walk up and punch a cook time in on your microwave, because the minute you hit that one button, what's going to happen? Your microwave's going to start, ain't it? If you want to cook a minute and 15 seconds, you have to hit cook time and then punch in 1:15, don't you? Why? Shortcut. Hit that one, it's going to cook for 1 minute automatically, one button. You hit, I think it was all the way up to 5. What you cooking for 5 minutes? A baked potato? All the way up to 5. You just hit that number and it automatically comes on and cooks. Why? It's a shortcut, because we ain't got no time for that. We ain't even got no time for button pushing anymore, do we? It's a shortcut. And you know, this young generation is bad about it. Y'all old people are too. You go buy a car, you ain't going to say, well, I like that truck, but you get me one that's got them roll-up windows that stick on you and you can't roll it but a half a turn. You ain't going to say that. You like the button with the rolling-up windows too. It's a young people thing. It's an old people thing. It's an old people thing. We just love shortcuts, don't we? Because we don't have time. But you know, God's not that way. You know why God's not that way? Because He loves you too much. He loves you too much to let you take shortcuts with Him and your and His relationship and fellowship. He loves you too much. You know you can get to know people on a journey. We took off to Montana, three of us in a car. And that's my wife and my little girl. And I love them. But I knew them better when I got there than I did when we left. 3 days is a long time in a car. You know, you can get on an airplane and fly. I left Bozeman, Montana one morning, and I flew to Raleigh, and my wife picked me up, and we was coming in Chiraw, and we stopped and ate at Chili's and got back in Chiraw before dark. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? 2,200 miles. And stopped at a restaurant, ate in between. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you get on that flight, and it's just a matter of a few hours. You're all the way across the country or across the world even. But you know, you really can't get to know somebody in a few hours, can you? Now, back in the day, if you was going to travel across country, you would join up with a wagon train. A wagon train. The jumping off point was like St. Louis. That was the end of civilization. And you'd all band together, and you'd have your wagon, I'd have my wagon. You'd have a Ford wagon, I'd have a Chevrolet wagon. And we'd load our stuff up, and we'd take off across the country, and we'd get it, and we'd pour the coals to it, and we'd get about 20 miles a day. Woo! So you didn't get across the country in a matter of hours. It took, if you left St. Louis going to Oregon, it'd take 2, 3, 4 months sometimes. And we'd travel together. And every night we'd stop and we'd circle our wagons, and the ladies would start fire, and the men would shoot Indians, whatever they did. And they would cook and we'd share our meals together. And you might have a marriage on the wagon train, we'd all come together. You might have a child born on the wagon train on this trip, we'd all come together. Nearly every one of them, we would stop somewhere on the way and bury somebody, have a funeral. And the only ones we had to comfort was ourselves, right? So when we got to the end of the wagon train, those people that you traveled with and had that journey with, they were like family, man. Why? Because you had been through troubles and tribulations and hardships. And you didn't have any choice but to depend on those few little people and anybody else, was it? Plane rides, not like that, is it? That wagon train was. You know, I tell you, when you go through tribulations in this old world, and you will, that's when you get to know God best. When you go through tribulations in this world and trials and things come upon you and there's nothing you can do about it and all your friends can't help and all your family can't help and the only person you have to turn to and cry out to is God Almighty, that's when you get closest to the Lord. That's when He feels closest to you. In the middle of that night, when you're up by yourself and you're weeping and someone's sick and someone's hurt and someone's out in this old world or someone's died and it's just you and the Lord during that time of tribulation, that's when you get to know God best. You know, God allows these things to come into our life to help grow us. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many times we don't understand tribulations and understand what God is trying to do through them. So they affect us contrary to the way God wants them to. God's not allowing anything to come in your life. God's not bringing anything into your life to drive you away from Him. Anything comes in your life, it make. If God does it Himself, if God allows it to come in, no matter what it is, God wants it, whatever it may be, to draw you closer to Him, not push you farther away. It's God's desire. Let's look at the Scripture. Look back at verse 1 with me. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. Thank God. Best thing ever happened to you being saved. Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You got saved, so now you have hope. I can tell you, if you're sitting here tonight and you've never been born again, you have no hope. You may think you're going to win the lottery. You just might do it. You may think you're going to start a business and get rich. You just might do it. But you have no hope, because when you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hell is going to be your home until it's caught up and cast into the lake of fire. You have no hope in this world if you've never been born again. But if you're saved, you have hope. And that hope, biblical hope, a Christian's hope, is not like the world. A world hopes and they're thinking it might happen, it might not. You ever talk to anyone and ask them if they're going to go to heaven? Well, I hope so. That means they're flipping a coin. They don't know. They're going to wait. They, in their mind, God's going to weigh those good works and those bad works, and they hope those good works come out a little bit higher where God will let them in. That's not a biblical hope. That's not a Christian's hope. In the Bible, a biblical hope is the assurance that it's going to happen just like what God said. Looking for, the Bible says, that blessed hope, Titus 2 and 13, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. That's the blessed hope. We're not, well, maybe He will, maybe He won't, you know, maybe the Bible's true, maybe it's not. It's going to happen. It's our blessed hope. And when it happens, all those that have been born again by the grace of God are going home to heaven forever with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you get saved for the first time in your life, you have hope. And that verse says, in hope of the glory of God. We glory in our Savior, don't we? We praise Him, don't we? Amen. We praise Him at church. I feel sure you praise Him at home. I feel sure you praise Him on the job. I remember my wife was pregnant and she was trying to have a baby for about 3 days in labor, I think. It was a long time, man. I was tired. I know she was in a bind. And they finally decided they had to do a C-section, so they went in and did a C-section, and I fought the nurse off where I could watch because I wanted to see. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, man. I wanted to see it. And I remember they pulled that child out, my little daughter, and she started crying. I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. People might have seen that before. They may not have, but I knew who to thank. I knew who to thank that my wife was okay. I knew who to thank that my daughter was here and she was okay. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We glory in our Savior, don't we? We don't have any trouble praising God. Thank you, Jesus. But look at verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? We don't have any trouble praising God, do we? We can praise God, thank you, God, but when tribulations come into our life, most of us just don't glory in those, do we? We kind of hunker down, and we grit our teeth, and we're going to endure to the end. That's one time we're going to endure to the end, ain't we? We glory when things are good as we see it, but we grumble and murmur and complain when in our eyes things are not good. The Bible says it shouldn't be that way. That verse just said we should glory in tribulations. You know, Paul, he kind of makes you sick a little bit, don't he? Oh, Paul. It don't matter what was going on, that dude was just full of joy, wasn't he? I mean, they just whip him down. He's just praising God for it. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you praise God for being beat all the time? How do you praise God and just our glory and tribulations for being stoned to death? Can you imagine how that felt? You ever been hit with a rock? That guy got stoned to death. Died. He's just praising God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at a couple of verses about old Paul. Paul the apostle, he had victory and joy no matter what his circumstance was. And that dude said that he knew how both to abound and be abased. And he might have done a little bit of abounding, but about all I read about is him being abased. That dude just had a tough life in the service of Jesus Christ, didn't he? Always had joy. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse number 5. Paul said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. 2 Corinthians 12 and 5. I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. This guy's got infirmities, sicknesses, hurts, and he said, that's what I'm going to glory in. Look at verse number 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Look at verse 7. And lest thou should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So this guy's got physical hardships and troubles. But look at verse number 8. He didn't want them. He said, For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He didn't want them. He didn't want to hurt. He didn't want to see. Some people say it was eyes. Maybe it was. But whatever it was a thorn in the flesh. It was bothering him. It was hurting him. It was a physical thing. He didn't want it. He besought the Lord thrice that he would take it from him. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he didn't get it taken from him, did he? Lord, so my grace is sufficient, just live with it. So you know what average Christian's going to do, right? They're going to run that lift out to where they trip on it, ain't they? And it just ain't fair. And it just ain't right. And sister so-and-so's healthy and everybody knows she's mean, and I'm nice and friendly, and I'm suffering through this. Look what Paul said about it. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I will gladly glory in my infirmities. Man, I can't even hardly talk to somebody like that, can y'all? You can't talk to nobody like that. That's what Paul said, though. In his infirmities, his tribulations, he said he would glory. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7 with me. Let me show you another one. Paul the Apostle. 2 Corinthians 7. Speaking of the things that came upon him when he was traveling. Look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. Look what he said. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. What? Your tribulations and you are, he ain't just joyful. A lot of us, he's exceeding joyful in his tribulation. Paul had victory no matter the circumstances. And you know what? We can too. Paul didn't have anything that you and I don't have. He was saved by the grace of God, had the Holy Spirit indwelling. He didn't even have all the whole Bible like you do. He didn't have anything we don't have. But it's our attitude when tribulations and hardships and troubles come that separate us from our joy. Our attitude about those tribulations and hardships. You know, we love it when Jesus does exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Well, we love that, don't we? But where is our exceeding joy when tribulation comes? I think many times we as Christians forget We're forgetful people. We can be praising God one minute for His deliverance, and 5 minutes later something will come into our life and we're down in the dumps like He didn't just deliver us 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Amen, preacher. Y'all know. Oh, just like I am. God allows and sends tribulations into our lives for a purpose. That purpose is spiritual maturity. You know what that means? Let me put that in James Martin's simple terms. Knowing Him. That's what spiritual maturity is. Knowing Him. The more you know Him, the more you're going to love people. The more you know Him, the more you're going to handle circumstances. The more you know Him, the better you know Him, the more joy you are going to have in your life despite the circumstances. God allows tribulations to come into our life for us to have spiritual maturity. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, back in Romans chapter 5 with me, verse number 3. Romans 5 and 3. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing, so we know some things, that tribulation worketh patience. God puts you and I as Christians in situations sometimes where the only thing we can do is trust Him. All other options are gone. It's out of your hands. No power on this earth can help. The only thing we can do is trust in God Almighty. Amen. That's what tribulations will do for you. When you get down and that loved one's sick, or that loved one's out of the will of God, and you talk to them, and they're grown people, and there's nothing you can do, the only thing you can do is cry out to God. That'll help your prayer life, won't it? Why am I sick? Why is there never enough money? I'm the only one who's got money trouble. I know all y'all is just covered up in money. Probably not. Why is there never enough money? Is it my education? These people down at Burger King got a good education, amen. They can't get a good job either. Why is there never enough money? Why did that good job I have at that plant, why did that plant close up and move to Thailand? Why my plant? Why my job? Why my money? Why the sickness? Why the sorrow in my life? Maybe God is teaching you to depend and trust and draw close to Him. Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. You know one thing that I know for a fact? There ain't very many things I know for a fact. And the things I know for a fact come out of His Bible. One thing I know for a fact is that God is not in a hurry. Amen. You and I stay in a hurry, don't we? Man, we hit the floor running. And we got to go. And we got to get it done. I'm the world's worst. If it's like housework or yard work, I don't care about that. But when it's time to go to church, I get in a panic, man. I'm just like, put it on. Leave it off. Whatever you got to do, let's go. Fix it on the way to the church house. We got to be at church 30 minutes before church. I get in a hurry because I don't want to be late. God is not in a hurry. You know what you can do? If God's going to teach you something, you know what you can do as a Christian? You can learn it in 1 week, or you can learn it in 10 years. It's up to you. But God's going to stick with you until you learn it. There ain't no shortcuts with God. If He knows it's good for you and He wants you to get that lesson, you're going to get it easy, or you're going to get it hard, or you're going to get it in between. But you're going to get it because God ain't letting you take no shortcuts. When the preacher says I ain't, that's serious business. We want quick solutions, and God wants lessons learned. Take your Bible, turn with me to Colossians with me. Colossians. Book of Colossians. Chapter number 2. I got one here, but I think it's Colossians chapter 2. Colossians. Chapter 2. That's not it. Colossians chapter 1. It is Colossians chapter 1. I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. That's what God wants. That's what tribulations do. It teaches us to trust God, causes spiritual maturity in our life, helps us know God. Look at verse number 11. Strengthened with all might. Amen. According to His glorious power. Amen. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now wait a minute. We just read where tribulation bringeth patience. So if we got patience and long suffering, there's got to be some tribulation in there somewhere according to what the Bible says. Look at verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet, made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. You know that God's ways are not our ways. Man, we was on board with the strength, wasn't we? Woo-hoo! Sign me up for some of that. God's power, woo! Sign me up for that too. Put me down at the top of the list, preacher. Tribulation and patience and long suffering. Well, maybe somebody else needs to get some of that, preacher. God's ways are not our ways. Tribulation worketh patience. Turn back to Romans chapter 5 with me. These tribulations bring about patience in our life. Help us understand God's not in a hurry. He's concerned with our welfare, our spiritual growth. Tribulation worketh patience. And look at verse number 4. Romans 5 and 4. The Bible says, and patience, experience. Experience is going through the troubles, having done something, and learning from your troubles. That's what experience is. These tribulations bring about patience in our life, and our patience help us to endure these experiences. I'm a machinist. I have been cut. I have been burnt. I have been cut some more and burnt some more and scraped. Tell you what you can do. You can get you a chip off of a lathe. That thing is so hot and it turns purple. That's hot. And you get that thing stuck on your lip right there, buddy. You got something to work with then. You know what it teaches you to do? You better watch out when you're running that lathe. That experience taught me that. Get a mechanic, works on a car, and he runs his hand down an engine. He touches something that's red hot and burns himself. That's the first thing he's going to look for next time. Experience. You raise those children, you learn from experience, don't you? You know a little bit more over the second one you did the first one, don't you? By the time you get 4, 5, or 6, they pretty much just raise themselves, man. You ain't got to do that. Brother Luke just riding around, but he ain't raising children. Hey, taking care of themselves, man. Why? Experience. Experience. You go to get a job? Man said, well, have you got any experience? Nope, I need a job. He said, well, you got to have the experience to get the job. Well, how can I get the experience if you don't give me the job? That's catch 22, isn't it? Brother D told me, he's fighting the exact same thing. Everything he applies for, they want 3 to 5 years of experience. He said, I can't get no experience if they don't give me a job. God realizes you need experience. And that tribulation is going to bring about patience in your life. And that patience that the tribulations bring about is going to help you endure the experience. God's a knowing wise God. You know what experience teaches us? It teaches us good. It teaches us about the good, doesn't it? It teaches us about the bad also, doesn't it? It teaches us not only what to do, it teaches us what not to do, doesn't it? Tribulations bring patience, and patience helps us through the experiences. Then look at verse number 4 again. And patience experience, and experience hope. You know what experience in this life will make you do? Long for heaven, won't it? Won't it make you long for heaven? You get sick enough, and you get hurt enough, and you bury enough people in your life, you know what you're going to do to heaven? Maybe one time when you was young, you know, thank God for it, we want it. But when you get old and sick and hurt and tired, my wife's grandmother's 92 years old. She's buried everybody pretty much she's ever had in her life. Husband, I think there was 19 children or something, and them buried all of them. That'll make you long for heaven, won't it? Experience of these lives brings about hope in our life. It'll make us long for that blessed hope we spoke about earlier. And some people have so much in this world, they don't want to leave. You know anybody like that? I got some people flipping through my mind right now that God's blessed them. And it may be they inherited some money, or maybe they started a business and worked hard at it, and God blessed that business. But it has so many things, and it has so many toys, and it has so many pleasures in this life. That's what they spend their time on, and they rush to church on Sunday morning. And the time they're out, it's go get on some more stuff, and ride some more stuff, and do some more things, and that's all they think about. And you talk to them about, I can't wait to leave this old world and go home to heaven. And they look at you like you got two heads. Look at you like a mule staring at a new gate. You ever seen that? Buddy of mine had a mule, and he stacked some hay out in his pasture. He said that mule stood there and stared at that hay for 2 days. That's the way they look at you. Because we're rooted too much in this old stinking world. Experience of this life will make you long for heaven. The more we grow spiritually, which is God's goal through tribulations, the more we long for heaven to be with the Lord. I tell you what you do, you younger folks, this will help you. Find an older person and ask them if they want to stick around another 100 years. Ask them. Just ask them. Stick around 100 years and get sicker and hurt more. Watch people die every day. When you lay down at night, you hurt. When you wake up in the morning, you hurt. And all through the day, you hurt. And all your loved ones pass away. Ask them if they want to stick around another 100 years. I bet you more than likely they'll tell you no. And this hope, this experience brings about, this kind of hope that won't make you ashamed. Look at verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. That's what the Bible says. We won't have to be ashamed it's not going to happen because we know it's going to pass. If you've been born again by the grace of God, the tribulations of this life and the toils and the hardships and the experiences of this life, they're all going to pass away one day. And you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you will not be ashamed because God's going to do exactly what He said when your time here on earth is done. He's going to take you home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. We're counting on that. We won't be ashamed. Look what that verse says. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God. The more tribulations we encounter, the closer we draw to God, and the more important He becomes to us. I can tell you this for a fact. When we got plenty of money at the house, I don't pray as much to God about my finances when I ain't got none. When everybody's healthy and happy and everything's in order and it's a mountaintop experience, I don't pray as much as I do when people are sick or someone's out of the will of God or things aren't going good. That's human nature. Saved or not, you got that nature in you. The more tribulations we encounter, the more precious He becomes. Now what else? The more important it becomes to share His love with others. The closer we draw to that day, every day we're one day closer, each and every one of us, to meeting our Maker. Prepare to meet thy God, the Bible says. And every day, as the tribulations come, and the experiences come in this life, it helps us understand that when it's all over, the question is going to be, have you been born again? Are you saved? Helps us put aside some things of this world. Helps us realize that that's the thing that's going to matter with that family member we love, with those friends we have, with those people we work with. That's what's going to be questioned that must be answered. Love of God. I've been reading a book by Bill Grady. It's talking about the founding of America. What it was founded on. Why it's great. And it's a hot, stinking mess. But it's the best hot, stinking mess on this planet. There may be something about on another planet, but on this planet that you and I had to live on, America's still the best thing going. Still the best thing going. The Puritans came over to Mayflower, and we know the Mayflower Pact and all that. And they were godly, God-fearing people. Theology, that's a little bit wacky. But those men loved God, and those women loved God, and they trusted God, and they came to this country, and they dropped them off that ship. I didn't realize this. They dropped them off. That ship left. I thought they just like parked in the harbor or something. I didn't know. Shows how ignorant I am. That ship left and went back to England. Left them. On this shore, 100 of them maybe. First winter, 50 of them died every time you turn around. Some people was falling off that ship in the harbor, drowned. How you let that happen? Anyway. Nothing. Some of the Indians were hostile, some of them wasn't, but some of them were. Had no food, didn't know anything about the country. And you better believe those people were trusting for everything they had, trusted in a God. Jehovah God. I bet you that was some praying folks. But before very long, those Puritans kind of fade out of the picture. And the question was in the book, what happened? What happened? That first people came over and they began to build buildings and establish some towns and establish some colonies, and they began to grow food, and there was game to hunt, and the Indians helped them, and they made some pacts with some of the Indians, and before long things got settled down a little bit. And they had some food in the storehouses. And they had some shelter. And they had some security. So that next generation that came along, they didn't have to worry about that stuff. All that was taken care of. You know, it's hard for God to talk to somebody with a full belly. And that kind of, that godliness, that need of God, that prayer, that depending on God for everything, in just a matter of a generation or two, it just kind of faded away. And they became mean, hateful, bigoted people. Early on, they faced tribulations and had to depend on God for everything. Next generation had it easier. We pray more when we're sick, don't we? I can remember my little girl, we had just had her, and she was sick, man. She had a fever, and now I know it wasn't that bad of a fever. But at the time, man, I was concerned. That was my first child. She had a fever. And I honestly don't think I've ever prayed as hard for anything in my life. I was praying for her. And my wife had her in a rocking chair, and she was rocking her. And I walked by, and my wife said her fever broke. And I believe in my heart to this day that the Lord healed her instantly, miraculously. I believe that. I may get to heaven, and he said, boy, you're wrong about that. That Tylenol done that. And that'll be all right, too. But he's going to be one to tell me. Nobody else ain't going to tell me. Amen. Hey, when somebody's sick, we pray harder. When that relationship's not going well, we pray harder, don't we? When we can't pay the bills and we're worried about where the groceries are going to come from, we pray harder, don't we? Tribulations in our life draw us closer to God, and that's what He wants. That's what He come about. For our spiritual maturity. So next time something comes into your life, don't murmur. Don't complain. Just believe in your heart and know in your head that that's another chance for you to draw closer to your God. And that's what He wants. Treat life like a wagon train and not like a plane ride. And have joy in your tribulations, knowing that it's drawing you closer to God. God's wagon train is sometimes slow, but at the end of the trip, I guarantee you we'll all know God better for it. Heads bowed, eyes closed.